Hello, welcome to Entertainment Weekly. This is an abbreviated show because this week we had that extra special content. Still, I'm very glad that we have half an episode's worth of time because we have lots to talk about as I read from Entertainment Weekly's website, which is EW.com, here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. First, how to watch Saturday Night Live's 50th anniversary special, SNL 50 live concert, and more. The legendary sketch show is celebrating its big 5-0 with a 3-hour concert, a 3-hour live primetime special, and tons of familiar faces. This is by Jillian Setterholm. Get ready to kick and stretch and kick. Saturday Night Live is turning 50. The legendary sketch show, which premiered October 11, 1975, is celebrating its anniversary early by serving SNL fans a feast of abundance that even Debbie Downer would be hard-pressed to refuse. There are documentaries featuring never-before-seen footage and dozens of new interviews, a curated YouTube playlist with highlights from every season, a feature film about the show's origins, an exciting fan experience in New York, a new biography on the show's creator hitting shelves, a star-studded concert special, and a 3-hour live primetime special with an overflow of beloved cast members, fan favorite guest hosts, and more. It's enough to make any SNL nerd's conehead explode. We're going to read on for more details on all the SNL anniversary programming, including how to tune in. The first show, SNL 50, Beyond Saturday Night. What is it? A 4-part docuseries featuring rare footage and interviews with more than 60 contributors, including cast members, writers, and execs. Episode 1 focuses on the casting process, with never-before-seen audition footage and first-hand stories from cast members and those who decide who makes the cut. Episode 2 offers a behind-the-scenes look inside the writer's room to show how pitches get approved and everything involved in making sketches into reality. Episode 3 takes a deep dive into the iconic More Cowbell sketch starring Will Ferrell and Christopher Walken, and Episode 4 explores SNL's very weird Season 11, which saw the return of show creator Lorne Michaels and the ambitious yet flawed casting of 17-year-old Anthony Michael Hall, Robert Downey Jr., Randy Quaid, Damon Wayans, and more. Who is involved? Executive produced by Oscar-winning filmmaker Morgan Neville, we know him from 20 Feet from Stardom, the docuseries features interviews with Fred Armisen, Dana Carvey, Stephen Colbert, Pete Davidson, Tina Fey, Al Franken, Heidi Gardner, Bill Hader, Daryl Hammond, Tom Hanks, Chris Kattan, Seth Meyers, Tracy Morgan, John Mulaney, Sherry O'Terry, Joe Piscopo, Amy Poehler, Bob Odenkirk, Jay Farrow, Molly Shannon, Sarah Silverman, Robert Smigel, David Spade, Kenan Thompson, Bowen Yang, and many more. All 4 episodes of SNL 50 Beyond Saturday Night are available to stream on Peacock now. Next, ladies and gentlemen, 50 years of SNL music. What is it? A feature-length documentary celebrating 5 decades of Saturday Night Live's legendary music performances and musical comedy sketches. The 3-hour broadcast will include interviews with musical guests, cast members, writers, producers, and more. And who's involved? Co-directed by Grammy and Oscar-winning musician and filmmaker Amir Questlove Thompson and Emmy-winning SNL video shorts director Oz Rodriguez, Ladies and Gentlemen includes interviews with musicians like Bad Bunny, Elvis Costello, Miley Cyrus, Billie Eilish, Dave Grohl, Debbie Harry, Mick Jagger, Dua Lipa, Daryl DMC McDaniels, Casey Musgraves, Paul Simon, Justin Timberlake, Jack White, and more. Also interviewed are Jane Curtin, Jimmy Fallon, Eddie Murphy, Egon Wodim, Conan O'Brien, Maya Rudolph, Paul Schaefer, Sarah Sherman, various SNL band members, Lonely Island's Andy Samberg, Akiva Schaefer, and Jorma Taccone, and more. And how can we watch? Ladies and gentlemen, 50 Years of SNL Music premiered January 27th and will get an encore airing on Saturday, February 15th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on NBC. It's also available on Peacock. SNL 50, the homecoming concert. That's a three-hour live concert at Radio City Music Hall in New York, celebrating 50 years of iconic SNL musical performances. And the event, from executive producers Lorne Michaels and Mark Ronson, will be hosted by Jimmy Fallon and feature performances from past SNL musical guests, including Cher, Dave Grohl, Ms. Lauryn Hill, Snoop Dogg, St. Vincent, Wycliffe Jean, Arcade Fire, Backstreet Boys, Bad Bunny, Bonnie Raitt, Brandi Carlile, Brittany Howard, Chris Martin, David Byrne, Devo, Eddie Vedder, Jack White, Jelly Roll, Lady Gaga, Miley Cyrus, Mumford & Sons, Post Malone, Preservation Hall Jazz Band, Robin, the B-52s, and The Roots. The event will also feature appearances from SNL alums Anna Gasteyer, Andy Samberg, Maya Rudolph, Tracy Morgan, Will Ferrell, and Paul Schaefer, plus more surprise guests. SNL 50, the homecoming concert, streamed live on February 14th, and now it's available on Peacock. Saturday Night Live Season 1 premiere rebroadcast. This is a re-airing of the show's first ever telecast, then titled NBC Saturday Night, originally broadcast October 11, 1975. The premiere was hosted by comedy legend George Carlin with musical guests Billy Preston and Janice Ian. Original cast members, aka the Not Ready for Primetime players, included Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, Chevy Chase, Jane Curtin, Garrett Morris, Lorraine Newman, and Gilda Radner. Comedian Andy Kaufman made an iconic appearance on the premiere, which also included a sketch from Muppets creator Jim Henson. The SNL Season 1 premiere airs Saturday, February 15th at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time and Pacific Time on NBC. And then we have SNL 50, The Red Carpet. That's live interviews from the splashy red carpet ahead of the 50th anniversary special. That red carpet special will be hosted by Morning Joe and Today host Willie Geist and SNL alum Leslie Jones, with correspondent Matt Rogers, who co-hosts the Las Culturistas podcast with Bowen Yang. Amelia Dimmelberg, host of Chicken Shop Date, will also host a social media live stream from the red carpet across SNL's YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok accounts. That will air live on Sunday, February 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Time on NBC, E, and Peacock. And then we have SNL 50, the anniversary special. That's a three-hour live primetime special celebrating a half century of Saturday Night Live. Details are scarce, but if it's anything like the show's 40th anniversary special in 2015, expect exciting cast reunions, revived fan favorite characters and sketches, tributes to those who are no longer with us, and more. So many former cast members, guest hosts, and other close friends of the show are expected to cram into Studio 8H for the 50th that Michaels declared years in advance that invitees won't be allowed plus ones. Those announced to appear include the show's longest-running cast member, Kenan Thompson, plus SNL alums Adam Sandler, Amy Poehler, Andy Samberg, Chevy Chase, Chris Rock, Eddie Murphy, Fred Armisen, Garrett Morris, Jane Curtin, Jason Sudeikis, Jimmy Fallon, Kate McKinnon, Kristen Wiig, Lorraine Newman, Maya Rudolph, Molly Shannon, Pete Davidson, Seth Meyers, Tina Fey, Tracy Morgan, Will Ferrell, Will Forte, Martin Short, and more. Former hosts confirmed to make appearances include Adam Driver, Ayo Edebiri, Bad Bunny, Dave Chappelle, John Mulaney, also a former SNL writer, Kim Kardashian, Miley Cyrus, Paul McCartney, Paul Simon, Pedro Pascal, Peyton Manning, Quinta Brunson, Robert De Niro, Sabrina Carpenter, Scarlett Johansson, Steve Martin, Tom Hanks, and Woody Harrelson. Drew Barrymore, who holds the record as the show's youngest host, recently told Entertainment Weekly she will also be there and is game for anything. If anybody needs me, you can put me in, Coach. I don't know what will happen, but I'll be there. We can watch SNL 50, the anniversary special, airing live on Sunday, February 16th at 8 to 11 Eastern Time and 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time on NBC and Peacock. And then lastly, there's Saturday Night. That's a feature film that debuted at the 2024 Telluride Film Festival before hitting theaters in October. Saturday Night is a heightened account of the 90 minutes leading up to SNL's first live broadcast. In it, a very green Lorne Michaels, played by Gabriel LaBelle, must contend with ornery cast members and writers, a set that's falling apart, meddling network execs, and threats from Hollywood icons. Directed by Jason Reitman, the SNL biopic depicts the show's original Not Ready for Primetime players, Chevy Chase, played by Corey Michael Smith, John Belushi, played by Matt Wood, Dan Aykroyd, played by Dylan O'Brien, Gilda Radner, played by Ella Hunt, Garrett Morris, played by Lamorne Morris, no relation, Jane Curtin, played by Kim Matula, Lorraine Newman, played by Emily Fearn, and Michael O'Donoghue, played by Tommy Dewey, as well as various others involved, like Jim Henson, Andy Kaufman, both of them are played by Braun, George Carlin, played by Matthew Reese, Billy Crystal, played by Nicholas Puddany, Paul Schaefer, played by Paul Rust, Milton Berle, played by J.K. Simons, writers Rosie Schuster, played by Rachel Sennett, and Alan Zwiebel, played by Josh Brenner, and more. Saturday Night is streaming on Netflix and available to watch on Blu-ray and digital. That's everything to know about how to watch Saturday Night Live's 50th anniversary special, SNL 50 live concert, and more. It was by Jillian Setterholm. From the movie section, we have a review of Captain America, Brave New World review, Harrison Ford, Hulk smashes together a hodgepodge movie. This is by Maureen Lee Lanker. We don't deserve Harrison Ford. As a national treasure responsible for two of the most iconic movie roles ever, he could easily rest on his laurels. But the 82-year-old is working at a feverish pace of late, finding new sandboxes to play in. His latest is the Marvel Cinematic Universe in Captain America: Brave New World. The film is ostensibly Sam Wilson's, that's Anthony Mackie's movie, his first big screen moment to reclaim Cap's shield and persona for himself. But Ford, taking over for the late William Hurt as Thaddeus Ross, is the main attraction. From the first moments, it's clear this is a different Thaddeus Ross. Not in the obvious literal sense, but by virtue of the fact that the opening minutes of the film reintroduce us to the notion of his daughter, Betty, played by Liv Tyler, and his deep desire to reconnect with her and right his wrongs. What a world we live in, that in a movie full of super soldiers, celestial islands, and gamma rays, the most unbelievable part is a U.S. president with empathy, a sense of responsibility for his actions, and a capacity for change. As Ross takes office, he attempts to broker a treaty with multiple nations to share the precious resource of adamantium at the core of the celestial island, which Gemma Chan's Cersei created in Eternals. Meanwhile, Cap and his new trusty sidekick, Joaquin Torres, played by Danny Ramirez, are chasing Sidewinder, played by Giancarlo Esposito, and a stolen vessel of adamantium. Sidewinder is a red herring and, frankly, a waste of Esposito's talent for portraying despicably complex villains. This is all a setup for an eventual assassination attempt on Ross's life, led by another former Captain America, Isaiah Bradley, played by Carl Lumbly, under mind control. Sam attempts to define his version of Captain America while fighting to exonerate his friend, all while Samuel Stearns, played by Tim Blake Nelson, pulls the strings from the shadows, with the ultimate aim of revenge on Ross for broken promises. There is also Ross's security advisor, Ruth Bat Seraph, played by Shira Haas, an ex-widow who quickly signs on to Sam and Joaquin's team. If this sounds a bit complicated, heavy on exposition, and jumbled, well, that's because it is. It's never a great sign when a screenplay has 5 credited writers, as Brave New World does. We can see the story spackling in real time as the writing works to try to fit all of its convoluted pieces together. That sense of papier-mâché storytelling is only amplified by the return of Nelson and Tyler's characters from 2008's The Incredible Hulk, a film the MCU tends to quietly ignore. It's as if the team at Marvel put a bunch of plot points and characters in a hat, shook it around, and went with whatever they pulled out. Still, Brave New World works significantly better than plenty of other Marvel films. Director Julius Ohna from The Cloverfield Paradox infuses the proceedings with a fast-paced vitality that keeps the pacing brisk. At 1 hour and 58 minutes, it's only 10 minutes longer than Marvel's shortest film, The Marvels. The action sequences are thrilling, if not revelatory or approaching the franchise's high points. Captain America, The Winter Soldier, You'll Always Be Famous. But by and large, it's Ford who elevates the film. He brings an inherent gravitas with him. It just feels right to see him in an Air Force One jacket. You're half expecting him to tell Sam Wilson to get off his plane. But he also brings a twinkle in his eye and a merry warmth that shines through the hawkish military man obsessed with his own legacy. Ford acts the hell out of his scenes, particularly his quieter ones, where he reflects on his mortality and reckons with the mistakes he's made along the way. With his characteristic self-deprecating wry approach, he dismissed his work in the film as being an idiot for money at last summer's San Diego Comic-Con. Those comments majorly undersold his performance. Ford commands any scene he's in with a gruff stillness, but he also brings compassion to Ross, transforming him from a military shill to a character who's easy to root for. He's so good in the role that it's a real shame Marvel chose to lean into Ford's transformation into the Red Hulk as their primary marketing angle. The crux of the film lies in Ross's attempts to control his frustrations and anger, and the potential monster waiting to break free from within him. Knowing from the start that we're building to a showdown with the Red Hulk slightly lessens the impact of that plot point. But it's a testament to Ford's intuitive, deft performance that the moment still feels shocking when it does finally come. And then we get the joy of seeing the riveting performance he gives predominantly through his expressive eyes as the transformed Red Hulk. At one point, another character, whose name we will not spoil, reassures Sam about the pressure of filling Steve Rogers' shoes, saying, "You're a human being, you do your best. Steve gave them something to believe in, you give them something to aspire to." In many ways, the same could be said for Ford and his underappreciated gifts as an actor. Oh, sure, he's long been a movie star, but his actual gifts as an actor are woefully unsung. What makes his Ross so compelling and allows the film to hang together on the whole is Ford's abundant humanity. Thaddeus Ross is not a supervillain. He's not even a particularly moral bankrupt politician. He's just a man trying to do his best for his daughter and the country he loves. At its core, Brave New World is a movie about legacy. How to step into the one that yawns before you, how to reckon with the one that's been foisted upon you, and how to choose to change the things that will define you. In the return of Isaiah Bradley and Sam's own expression of his fears that he'll never be enough, there's an attempt to dig into the specter of race and the added pressures it bestows upon the concept of legacy. There's a rich, compelling movie in that line of thinking that is never fully explored. Amid the usual Marvel trappings of visual effects, explosions, and fight sequences, there are nuggets of a more profound cultural reflection. So, we hope it's merely the beginning of that aspect of Sam's story, because Brave New World's legacy will always belong to Harrison Ford. That's Captain America, Brave New World review, Harrison Ford, Hulk smashes together a hodgepodge movie. It was by Maureen Lee Lanker, and she's giving the movie a grade of B. And from the TV section, I have Cobra Kai creators explain how they brought Mr. Miyagi back from the dead. The creators of Netflix's hit karate comedy sought approvals from the family of Pat Morita, who died in 2005 before reviving the beloved character. This is by Kristen Baldwin. And warning, this article contains spoilers for season 6 of Cobra Kai. Though Karate Kid sensei Mr. Miyagi passed away in 2011, he never stopped being a source of inspiration and wisdom to Daniel LaRusso, played by Ralph Macchio, including in the 6th and final season of Netflix's Cobra Kai. After appearing briefly in a dream sequence earlier this season, Mr. Miyagi, played by beloved actor Pat Morita, who passed away in 2005, returned for an extended dream-based reunion with Daniel in episode 13, Skeletons. Discouraged after Miyagi-Do falls hopelessly behind in the Sekai-Taikai tournament, Daniel struggles to figure out how to proceed, especially since his daughter Sam, played by Mary Mouser, also feels conflicted about finishing the tournament. That night, Daniel dreams he's being attacked by a group of sinister figures in skeleton costumes, a callback to the traumatizing beating he took from Johnny Lawrence, played by William Zabka, and his Cobra Kai buddies in The Karate Kid. But suddenly, a man emerges from the darkness to fight with him, and it's none other than Nariyoshi Miyagi. Once they've vanquished the skeleton fighters, Daniel tearfully confronts his late mentor. "Why did you leave me all alone without any answers?" Placing his hand on Daniel's chest, Mr. Miyagi tells him, "Remember, Miyagi teach, win, lose, no matter. No need fight anymore." The emotional exchange helps Daniel determine how Miyagi-Do should proceed in the Sekai-Taikai finals. Executive producer Hayden Schlossberg, who created Cobra Kai with John Hurwitz and Josh Hild, tells Entertainment Weekly that the show sought the blessing of Pat Morita's estate before bringing back his beloved character. Beyond getting the approvals, Ralph has some connections to his family and wanted to explain to them what our intentions were. We explained there would be this first episode where it was kind of a scary version of Mr. Miyagi where he is fighting Daniel, but that it would culminate in an ultimate dream sequence where Daniel and Mr. Miyagi are fighting together, and it's a very heartfelt scene, says Schlossberg. They were totally behind it, and it's just something that Ralph really wanted as well. To bring Mr. Miyagi back to life, the show used a body double as well as a sound-alike actor to deliver the character's dialogue. Then, using Pat Morita's actual voice and AI technology, you kind of merge the two, explains Schlossberg, it was the wish fulfillment of getting to see them on screen together again. You do your best with the technology. It's a dream sequence. We felt like it was worth doing to recreate that duo on screen again. Cobra Kai Season 6 is streaming now on Netflix. That was Cobra Kai creators explain how they brought Mr. Miyagi back from the dead, and it was by Kristen Baldwin. That's all the time we have for Entertainment Weekly in this abbreviated version. I feel like we got some really good stories in there, but I'll tell you, I left a couple reviews behind, and I will get to those next week. You'll hear more about White Lotus from Max and Love is Blind, the latest season that takes place in Minnesota. So I hope that's enough of a teaser for next time. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm volunteer reader Diane Salisbury, and I've been reading from Entertainment Weekly's website, which is EW.com. Until next time, goodbye.